Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and in the process support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. Have you ever had a piece of gear that impacted you positively hiking and backpacking? And while you think, I'm going to let you in on one that changed my whole hiking and backpacking.
What am I looking at?
This is the Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holder.
Oh, okay. Yes. That would sound great.
So smart water bottles.
Yep.
They go here.
Yep.
On your backpack shoulder strap. And I can't reach behind me to grab my water bottles. And like you were saying earlier, like being more efficient and I can have this and I can grab it with one hand. I can unscrew the top, drink, put it back.
No, I love that.
The most amazing thing about it, besides that it's made in Texas, and it's a very small outfitter, but the water carry, and in Texas, you know, we have to worry about water carry and the weight of water and all that, but you have two of these on the front and then you have your hip belts. That's 4 liters of water. And the weight distribution on your backpack is crazy.
No. That's, I love that.
And you can customize it to whatever colors you want.
That's cool. I don't like the orange, but you know, I'm an Aggie. So that's acceptable. Totally acceptable.
I have 6 of these and
that's awesome.
But man, I have Z-Packs, Hyperlite, Ultras, Osprey, you name it. I probably have it. Elightened equipment, outdoor vital stuff. And that piece of gear, out of all that, has absolutely positively changed the way I hike and backpack.
Well, I think it hits two things. One is water, I think, is the most critical thing. There's not a hike we probably couldn't do. Is if we had no food, we'd be okay. But you gotta have water, period. Yep. But then you touched on something very interesting, and that was the weight distribution.
That was crazy.
Huge. I get it. Like that, I can feel it. When you say it, I can go, I got that. Like that's an interesting, that could actually, you should probably talk to them and tell them as a selling point. That's a selling point.
Yeah, and just this past February, we were out in the backcountry of Guad and we had a big water carry. So they make a little pouch too that you can carry your phone charger and phone and snacks, whatever. Right. So I got rid of that and I had two. Man, I put my backpack on and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, yeah, I messaged Joe. I talk to him almost every day. Did you realize blah, blah, blah? He goes, he's like, yeah, you're just now figuring that out. And I'm like, oh my God, that is the absolute.
So my backpack, I use the Osprey. I'm not very creative. Mm-hmm. I only have one main pack. And shout out to Osprey. They I wore it out. I don't know who wears out backpacks, but I wore out my backpack. I went to Trail Days. Yeah. I went to Trail Days and I said, you know, because they have these people that'll sew it together for you for free. And so I said, hey, can you fix my baby? And they looked at me and they're like, we're going to give you a new one. And my face.
Are you kidding?
No, but my face just dropped and I'm like, I said, I can't do that. And they looked at me and I'm like, I said, I appreciate that, but this backpack has done a lot. I said, I can't get rid of it. And she looked at me. She's like, we're going to give you a new one and we'll let you keep your old one. I'm like, what? I'm like, who does that?
Oh my gosh.
They gave me a brand new pack. And that's what I have right now. It's actually right behind me. And so they gave me a brand new pack. But the reason I like the Osprey is because I don't have to take my pack off. Mm-hmm. My waters are here and I can quick draw, you know, and put them back in. Because they have like this little hole right here. So you can put it in the top or you can put it in the front. Most people don't know that. So when they see me hiking and they see me do that, they're like, whoa, what? What? You know, and sure enough, they're like, I didn't know I could do that. But when I first started hiking the Appalachian Trail, I was a keyboard. I worked on a computer. Right. My shoulders did not have flexibility. I physically, it was painful to do my water in and out. But by the time I finished my trail, I got my mobility of my shoulders back.
I can't grab those things.
Yeah. No.
It saved my life.
It took a lot of work to get my mobility back. Because
a lot of miles.
A lot of miles. okay. Well, I love that. That's a kind of a unique thing. Mine is actually quite simple as to what I can't imagine not having. Poles.
No.
I never thought I'd be a poles person, but I was told by several people before I did the AT, I went to REI and I filled up my cart with all the things I thought I needed with very little research. Mm-hmm. And this kid who had done the Appalachian Trail and he was a through hiker and he was an ultra, ultra, ultra light. And he looked, he's like, can I help you? And I said, yes. He took everything out of my cart, everything.
Yep.
And he's like, you don't need that. You don't need that. You need this. You need. And he built me a cart. And I bought everything that he gave me. He saved me like $800. Like it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. He was like, you don't need this for the AT and da, 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 da. Anyway, but the poles. And I don't have adjustable poles. People go, you need adjustable poles. Well, I've been doing okay for 4 years. So I think I'm okay without adjustable. And they collapse to nothing. And I can collapse them on the fly. I can put them out. I love my poles. They can handle my wobbles. But I like, sometimes I don't want poles. So I like to be able to store them.
Right.
So I love my poles. I can fly with them because people, you know, I can break them down in enough where they don't flag them if I carry on. Cause that's a big problem for some people when they travel is their poles get confiscated. So anyway, poles.
Nice.
I know it's not that exciting, but it really was. That's probably my big thing.
And that's like ending the episodes and I usually ask that question, but that's one of my favorite questions. No, we're not ending, but that's one of my favorite questions. Cause it's everybody has that little different piece of gear that, you know, they just love. And I love just getting, everybody's input on kind of that one piece of gear that has really changed the game for them.
So can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So what is something that you don't carry that people tell you that you should carry? Like it's something you choose not to bring, and it can be something very simple, very light, very small, but what is something that they say you have to have that you choose not to carry?
So just like right off the cusp, it was a piece of gear that I stuck my nose up at, never listened to people. And then I brought it one time because I got tired of Henning telling me I needed it. He's my hiking and climbing friend. And I brought it. It was like, oh my God, I've been going all these years. Like, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. And then I brought it and wow, it was a shell. Shell.
What?
A shell. So, you know, like a shell jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never brought them. And
we're not talking about a poncho.
No. Like, you know,
we're not talking about a backpack cover.
No. Just a shell for your body.
Like a windbreaker.
Yes.
And you never carried one.
Nope. I always laughed at it. Like, you don't need a shell.
Oh, wow. So that's what people don't realize is everything I wear. I can wear everything that I bring My clothing is so limited that I can physically wear everything with the exception of my extra socks. Like there was a hike I just did. I had the only clothing that was left in my pack at one point because I was wearing everything was two pairs of socks and three pairs of underwear. Everything else was my outfit, from my puffy jacket to my shell to my rain pants. I had what I call yoga pants, but some people call them thermal underwear, but mine really are just yoga pants that someone gave me. They're nothing fancy. Yeah. And my hiking pants. And then I had my shirt. And my gloves. I was wearing every clothing item on this hike with the exception of those things. And people are like, that blows their mind because they have extra shirts. They have extra pants. They have, you know, so I understand like you didn't have a shell because you were trying to, for whatever reason, you thought it was redundant or you didn't need it or whatever the case may be. My whole setup is my jacket is not warm enough mm-hmm. by itself. It needs the shell. Sometimes I always carry rain gear because that's how I did my laundry when I would go in a hiker town is I wear nothing else but my rain gear. So everything would get washed. Right. But I wore it for warmth. I wore it for an outer shell. I've slept wearing everything I own. When the temperature goes to almost zero. Yes, I have a sleeping bag, quilt. I have a liner. But there are times where I have to wear everything, including my little fuzzy hat.
Absolutely. And, you know, Henning always told me, you need a shell. And we were in the backcountry in February, and it was 19, 23 degrees. And we usually start almost all the time I'm in Guadalupe Mountains. We're starting the hikes at 3:30 in the morning. And, I said, okay, I'll bring it. God, leave me alone. And I brought it. Yeah, I was like, all right, I'll start listening to you. Something now that people always said that I should bring and I never brought also was a hat.
Okay.
And my favorite hat now, check this bad boy out. So you did the AT.
Yep.
Well, it's a hat and a sun hoodie. So I always loved the sun, but you know, now I realize that skin cancer and stuff is a thing. So Outdoor Vitals has the best sun hoodie. So I'm all about that. But did you ever go through Marion, Virginia?
I did.
Did you stop at Marion Outdoors?
I think they were closed because it was 2020, but they are on the map. Aww.
Oh,
that's a cool hat.
And it breathes. So, yeah. You know, so I wouldn't wear this out in the sun just by itself, just because of the holes, but under a sun hoodie, this thing, the way it breathes. Oh, so I'm a hat. I don't care. I'm a hat person now. And oh, cause I don't have any hair too, but this is Marion Outdoors. So usually when I order stuff that's not on Trekker Joe's, I always give, you know, his website. Cause he, you know, he's a small business. Give his website to see if they have what I need before I go to anywhere else.
Oh, that's
but yeah.
Cool. I love it.
Oh, this hat is awesome.
Sunscreen. What do you do for sunscreen? I'm passionate about this.
I have done some research lately and sunscreen scares me now.
Good.
Holy meaning God. The chemicals and stuff yes. that are included in sunscreen. And it also goes into cleaners like women and breast cancer.
Yes.
You know, they're spraying all these chemicals and maybe they're not using gloves. And now there's links to possibility breast cancer and all this stuff. So I try not to do any sunscreen at all, but the sun hoodie and the hat and sunglasses.
And what? That's so crazy. What if the sun was actually good for you? No, that can't be. You know, it's so amazing. Like if we were not feeling well as a kid, my parents made us go outside.
Go outside.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. I don't feel good. You will after you go outside. You're depressed. Nope. Get some sunlight. You're cold. Get some sunlight. Believe it or not, you're hot. Get some sunlight. It's the most fascinating thing. But okay, so this goes back to all the other things I said about the food. We have been so commercialized into buying these things that I can justify that I don't want to buy into all those things because all those products, including lip balm, all of those things, they want you to keep using them. So they're going to make you feel like you need to use them. And then they have, unfortunately, the scare tactics. But let's just take it on a very simple level. I just did a 2-week hike. If I put stuff on my skin, let's pretend it's good for me. How am I getting it off? I've got 2 weeks of no showers. I don't want to go to every stream for two reasons. One is I don't really want that stuff to go in the stream, but let's pretend it's good for you. I don't want to wash it off in the stream. So, I mean, what you're looking at right now is a person who, this light is a little bit bright, but basically I'm not as pale as it shows, but I go out in the sun. I'm outdoors all the time. This is really strange. I want you to do more research on this, but yes, hat. I have sun sleeves. So if I want to wear short sleeves, I have sleeves on that I use for the Arizona trail because that was a lot of sun. I found on the trail some gloves. They were sun gloves. And mm-hmm. So really nice ones. I get a lot of my gear I find on the trail. When people lose it, they leave it somewhere. So I wore these gloves. Great. Because I was getting a really strange tan of my hand. So I was like, I'm getting a little too much sun there. Sunglasses is a very interesting thing. I want you to do research on this. Our bodies are amazing and they will adapt to everything. But sunglasses are fairly recent in our world history. Like that's a fairly new invention. What if all these receptors that we have, your body is a machine and it tries to understand what we're doing. If you remember people, the only time people got sunburned before sunglasses, and you may not remember this, but the only time people got sunburned when sunglasses were around were typically people who fell asleep in the sun. Okay. Right. They passed out on the beach and they got sunburned, but they could be on the beach all day playing without sunglasses and not get burnt. That's weird. Sunglasses, and especially the better that they become, the more filtering they are, the more confusing it is for your body. When you wear sunglasses and you're hiking, now I'm not talking about hiking on a glacier where man is not supposed to be and we're talking about sun blindness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a normal day. Wearing sunglasses may not be the smartest thing you could do for your body. Now, I personally try to avoid in my normal life when I was living in Florida, I would get off the beach before 10 or after 10, I'd be off the beach after 10 before 2. So I had a window. I just tried not to be out in the sun. That was just me. But I did try to go and get natural sunlight every day. I believe you're supposed to watch the sunrise. I believe you're supposed to watch the sunset. It has all to do with your circadian rhythm. It has all to do with sleeping. But just for the fun of it, check out this concept that someone shared with me. I haven't bought into it yet, but I have experimented on my hikes. I've been on the Arizona trail and I decided, you know what? I'm not going to wear my sunglasses. No sunburn. Can't explain it. It could be in my head. All I know is that, you know, and I do wear hats and I do wear the sun sleeves and I do things, but you still get sun. But no matter what someone says, let's say they are passionate about sunscreen and they're going to do a hike. This is for the new hikers. Then all I want to tell you is, do you really want to go through a skin routine every night after you hike to clean this junk off your body? Do you really want something that has fragrance? Like, do you really want to have something, like if you're going to do something, just do zinc or do something that's more natural and old fashioned. I always tell people, if you want to use something, go back to the olden days, whatever they used before a lot of commercialization, that's probably better for you than the stuff that we have now.
Oh, absolutely.
So I do believe that the chemicals and all, okay. So let's pretend you do put something on your skin. Well, now you've blocked your pores. So your biggest organ, your skin, is now hindered while you're hiking. And we don't understand what that could do for you. We don't understand, but it's just like the mask. You know, we're not supposed to breathe in a mask. So even when before COVID, I had a buff, I wore it as little as I could because I didn't believe that I would almost rather my face freeze than to breathe in. And this was before COVID. Yeah. It didn't feel right. Like I would do it here so I could get fresh air just because our machine was built with hairs in our nose to filter stuff. And
right.
So I just, I'm very natural in that respect. But I live a certain way. But I don't want perfumes. I don't want things that smell. Deodorant? No, I'm not going to wear deodorant on a hike. And people go, but then you're going to smell bad. Not kidding. When I eat clean, I don't have BO.
When is that amazing?
None. I eat garbage, oh my, I mean, I can smell myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? So I can tell the health of my body by how I eat and how I smell and even my complexion. Do I get fingernails? You know, when I go on these hikes, my fingernails should be like broken because of all the stuff I'm doing. And my nails are so hard, they won't break. No. But when I'm not being good, like even right now, I'm kind of being a lazy bum. They're not as strong. So our bodies are amazing if we just listen to them.
Yep. And yeah, I don't know what it is, but we have gone so far in a direction.
Well, I want a shortcut. Like, I mean, come on. You know, what could I do as far as like, and this happens all the time, but you know, we make almost all these decisions are shortcuts. Like, I want to eat that thing that's really bad for me, but it's okay because I'm just going to take Tums or Pepto-Bismol or whatever. I don't even know what people take. You know, I want to do this one thing, but I'm going to take this magic pill that's going to make it okay tomorrow.
I eat bad. I'm like, I'll just take another diabetes pill.
But that's the human nature. So it applies to everything, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things I do like about my hikes is I get rid of the shortcuts, period. I try not to. The shortcuts, first off, don't serve me. You know, did you watch the movie Fandango?
Mm-mm.
Okay, you got to watch that sometime. But there's a
I'll make a deal with you. I'll watch that if you watch Pam's Infinite Storm.
Wait, okay, I got it. I have to write it down.
Yep.
And you can write it back. But okay, I got it. So basically, it was quite simple. They got lost. They were driving on a road trip and they got lost. And someone's like, what are we doing? Like, they're really off track. They're like, you know, why did you go this way? And they're like, well, I saw a shortcut. And they're like, dotted line doesn't mean a shortcut. It means a dirt road, you know? So you got to understand. I could have totally watched that. But that's the concept that I got out of it.
Right.
Is that, you know, shortcuts have actually never helped me, ever. When I try to, there's a difference between choosing a path because you want to go that way versus choosing a path because you want to avoid something else. When you try to avoid something else, for me, it never works out.
I think for most people, if they were honest and they look back in their life, I mean, shortcuts may get you to where you want to be vocationally or whatever you're doing, but absolutely more growth, more who you are, more is not via a shortcut. All right. So as we kind of, you know, move forward, how do you identify the hikes that you're going to do? Like, what do you do to go about choosing these?
Okay. This is not duplicatable, but here's what I do. I'm walking, I'm on a trail and someone goes, hey, have you ever done the Camino de Santiago? I'm like, no, what is that? Oh my gosh. It's in Spain. Da, 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 da. Okay. I tuck it away. A few days later, someone's like, oh my gosh, I just got off the Camino de Santiago. I'm like, really? Tell me about it. A certain hike, I swear, will come at me from every direction. I'll see a movie, you know, like this movie came out about Santiago. Someone will be wearing a shirt and it'll have a shell on it. And they're like, things happen. And I'm like, okay, I got the message. Boom, done. This last Camino, everybody kept talking about 88 temples. Never heard of this hike in Japan. Never heard of it. And four different people came out of it. Now, I will say I did research on it. So that's the next step. Okay. I'm turned on by it. I'm ready. I go look. And then I find out it's like, you know, a 6-month hike. Do I really want to do another one of those? Maybe not. Right now I'm enjoying these smaller things. So you know, like when I had that, someone ran into my van, I was looking specifically for a 2-week hike in a certain area. And that came up. So I like go to the internet and I'll type in, you know, most popular hike in Utah. And it might give me something. Then I go, no, I want to know something that might have a hot spring. And I whittle it down. But most of my hikes come from other people mentioning it to me. Or now in this stage of my life, people who know me, they're like, Kim, you need to do blah, blah, blah. Kim, have you ever heard of blah, blah, blah? So people are going out of their way to bring hikes to me. But every hike I'm on, I hear three more hikes that I want to do.
When you start to kind of narrow down and, yep, and kind of identify these hikes, what process do you use for determining the difficulty of the hike? just to make sure that, you know, like, we always want to be prepared, you know.
No, I hear you coming with this.
Yeah. So
it's kind of that's that balancing I talked about, because I was very naive when I stepped on the Appalachian Trail, and I grew and I learned so much. So part of me would tell people, just step on the trail and go slow, start small, you know, make sure you can make it. You know, it doesn't do you any good if you can't go 8 miles and it takes you 5 days to get to the first food source. Then if you can't do the 8 miles times five, then you can't do that trail, right? I'm in a situation right now where the most I've ever done is over 30. So in some ways, that's kind of my window of safety. Like, okay, I'm going to look at this trail. But my window that I like to do is every 20 miles, give or take. Mm-hmm. So what I do is if I find a hike that I want to do and it's in Far Out, which is an app, it was called Gut Hooks, I bought the Allegheny Trail guide. Then I actually pretended I was hiking it, and I would do it in 20 mile chunks. And I look to see, is there a place to stay every 20 miles? In this case, it was unsupported, but let's pretend like I was doing it self-supported. Then I can look and go, okay, is there something in the first 3 days where I can get a resupply and I can reset? Oh, it is. Okay, cool. So I will live through it, but I know my ability, right? I know I'm 2 miles an hour, almost my average, 2 miles an hour. When I find one and I find that I want to do it, and I'm trying to think, okay, the Costa Rica thing. So this is coming up. And so someone said, hey, you want to do the Costa Rica thing? Yeah, I'm kind of interested in it. So then the first thing I do is I type in on the internet, Costa Rica Camino, best time to hike. And sure enough, the first thing it says is you don't want to do it in the rainy season. You want to do it between December and March. Any other time, it's just not going to be good. Okay. Note. So then I, you know, put that as a mental note, like, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it before March. Then I find out, oh, it's still kind of a new hike, and I don't feel good about this one being solo. This is not, especially after the experience I just had on the Allegheny Trail where there were no other hikers, because I want to mention that again. As a female hiker, I love hiking solo, but I don't want to be the only person on the trail. The Lone Star Trail, now I was always crossing roads, so I always felt like there was civilization, but that's not always a good thing either, because I came up to at least two shady cars parked doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And I just had to pretend I didn't see them and just keep walking. So it's nice for no one to be around, but it's also nice to have this cross flow, day hikers, just a constant flow of people. And I always make sure that people remember me. I always say my name. I do something to make them remember me. And if I'm concerned about my safety, which has happened twice, then I will physically say, my name is Kim. I have a red van. I just parked it here. I had a really weird interaction with this person. And so I just want you to remember me. So if something happens, you can say you, and I literally told them that. And how did I think that this one person was safer than the person I saw before? It's just a gut feeling. I can't explain it.
That happened to me at Colorado, where I say good morning, good afternoon to everybody. Yep. And I look at their face, and as they're walking to me, I look at their clothes. Yep. And my wife goes, you realize there's not one person on the last couple of days that we've hiked here that have responded to you. And I'm like, yeah, I go, but I don't tell them good morning because I want a response. I want them to look at me. And if they go missing, I can remember them. I remember what you like.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wear a really bright Patagonia yellow, and I told her, like, If I was coming up to me, I'd be like, all right, there's a guy in a yellow, bright Patagonia, and I'll pay attention to his face. And then I can usually, you know, within some time, is I know how fast I hike, and I know kind of where I met them at, you know, or our paths crossed. And in case something happens to that person, and, you know, then I can say, oh yeah, I saw that guy on the trail, and it was probably at mile marker, blah, 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 you know, around this time. But yeah, so like you, like I talk to people and not necessarily care if they talk back.
Right. Now, there, I'm going to pick on this one because people get all bent out of shape because some guy will come on a trail, he'll see a female, and he'll say something like, and this is not my experience. This is what I've heard other women complain about. That guy had the nerve to ask me if I'm hiking alone. You know, what is he thinking? Da 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 da. You know, and I'm like, all right, chill out. I don't think they mean anything by it. And as a hiker, the person who hikes all the time, I have asked people, hey, are you solo? I'm not trying to judge them, you know, or if they're, I'm not trying to stalk them. I'm not, it's just one of those questions you ask. Why would I ask someone if they're solo? Well, I want to know if there's people around me before or after. I don't know. People get so bent out of shape, and I understand they're coming at it like, you know, the guy has no, but I believe that hiker, that female hiker is walking, hiking in fear. That's just me. That's just my belief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I'm walking and I haven't seen anyone for a long time, and the first person I see is some guy, I could definitely go into the mode of, oh my gosh, I'm in danger. What's that going to do for me? How is that going to serve me? How is that going to help me? If anything, when I come across someone who is threatening, like I feel uneasy and uncomfortable, and I've done this, the first thing I'm going to do is make eye contact with them. I am not going to look weak, period. That's just, again, these are my,
right.
my ways of dealing with it. I will be strong and confident. And it's so funny. Just recently, I can give this story about the Allegheny Trail. You know, I'm walking in the dark about to go into the woods, and this guy, I'm tired. I had a really rough day. And this guy is standing overalls. It's kind of dark. I need to get into the woods, but I'm doing a road walk because I got to do the road walk to get into the woods. I'm a little bit behind schedule and all this property is private. So I got to get past this subdivision to get to my place to set up a tent. And this guy standing there, and it's West Virginia, and I'm not kidding. He's standing, his house is actually decorated for Halloween. This just happened. And so it's just kind of like, it's even eerie. And this real guy is standing there with a shotgun. I don't know if I can say that on here. He's holding something in his arm.
Oh, we can say shotguns. This is a Texas podcast.
Oh, yay. Okay. So he is standing there, and I just, you know, I have one of two ways of handling this. And it's like, I greet him. I say, hi, you know, good evening. Sometimes I say, howdy, you know, whatever. And he looks at me. He's like, what are you doing out so late? Okay. That's kind of an interesting response, but okay. Mm-hmm. I looked at him and I said, well, I've had a rough day. And you can see my backpack, right? And I'm like, I'm hiking the trail and I just need to get into the woods so I can set up my tent. And he looks at me, he's like, ma'am, I can't let you do that. Now, again, I can put my hackles up and go, whoa, what is going on?
Yeah.
But that's not how I responded. I looked at him and I kind of sort of laughed. I'm like, well, so why is that? You know, and I'm still walking. You got to understand, like, I'm not standing right in front of him. I'm kind of slowly walking because I'm not necessarily going to stop. And he looks at me and he's like, ma'am, I really can't let you do that. There is a mountain lion that has been in our area, specifically the woods you're going into. He's like, it's not safe. This is he said something like, this cat is not afraid of anything. He said, I shot at it and it just looked at me like, you know, it owned me. He's like, so I don't even come to my yard without my gun. And I'm like, all right, now he's got my attention. Okay. First off, he's not doing any harm to me. If anything, he cares about me. Second, yeah. I could have handled it so many different ways, but I chose to engage with this guy and he was showing me nothing but concern for me. So I looked at him and said, well, I said, is there any way I can set up my tent in your yard? And he looked at me. He's like, absolutely. And he's like, I got to go tell my wife. So he goes running into the building, his house, and he comes back out. He shows me where to set up my tent. I set up my tent and he's even asking me, do you want me to lay some straw out for you? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I said, I will be gone before you wake up tomorrow morning. He's like, I don't know. I wake up pretty early. I'm like, you know what? I'm probably going to be gone. So I said, don't worry about me, but thank you so much.
Yeah, that's cool.
But that story could have gone so many different ways. How many times do we step into our fear and we actually, okay, this is a real example. A friend of mine was afraid of the ocean, specifically fish. She was afraid of fish. To death, she was afraid of fish. But she still went on cruises and she went with me and we were in the water and she thought a fish touched her leg and she freaked out and she jumped and she landed on a rock and she ripped her toenail off. Now the question is, did the fish hurt her? No. Her fear.
Yeah.
Her reaction to the fear hurt her. So why do I say this? Because I think people need to remember, especially the people who've never hiked before, your fear of a bear is just that. You're worried about something that has not happened. You're worried about something that could happen. I'm not saying it's not justified, but the question is, how does your fear serve you? Now, can you be cautious? Can you be prepared? Can you be on high alert? Absolutely. But if you start behaving differently because you are afraid of something maybe happening, that's when you step into the territory of making poor choices.
No. I agree. And it's funny to listen to all your opinions throughout the podcast so far. And I agree, like, we are aligned, like, 1,000%.
Nobody agrees with me on sunscreen. So you got me there.
They just need to do research.
And here's the deal. And then find what works for you. Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right now, I am finding what I'm noticing, you know, on certain products and things is it's not doing what people thought, you know? So if you don't, someone's like, you know, Kim, you should know better. You hike all the time. You should use lip balm. But I don't need to. Well, no, because your lips are going to get dry, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And for real, when I did use lip balm, my lips were dry all the time. And the lip balm was so soothing and so nice.
Yeah.
So you just have to look at these things. And everything I'm saying today, I might have a different opinion tomorrow. I might find a product that does satisfy what I'm looking for. So I'm never a closed door on opportunities, but you got to follow the money and you got to follow, is it something that causes you to want it more? If you find something that's addictive or craving it, you need to ask yourself, okay, is it serving a purpose? You know, am I serving their purpose selling the product or am I serving my purpose because it takes away the pain or it gives me more energy or it makes my bones stronger or whatever. If it does what it says it's going to do and you're happy with it, then do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are very much aligned on a lot of things. And you just have to wonder, is it because we have been able to step away from what my mom called the boob tube, but, you know, step away from the inputs, constant inputs, and spend just enough time outdoors to let nature tell you what makes sense. Because if you're always bombarded by ads, that's your truth. If you're always bombarded by the news, that's your truth. If you're always bombarded by whatever, that's your truth. But if you step away from all of these things and you go out into the nature that we have so readily available to us, people go, I don't have anything near me. You do. There's always a park. I haven't been to a town. I drive all over the U.S. I've not gone to a town where there's not a park.
Yeah. You know what really facilitated me to start thinking about these things? Hmm. And it's really sad to say is the environment of the news. And I'm, you know, and it revolves around the media, political stuff. And you start to see like what's being said sometimes. And I don't give a crap if you're on this side or in the middle, whatever. We've been lied to and it's clear and there's no accountability. And so that's really facilitated me to, I question everything. And I research, and when I find studies, I look at who's funding the study, who's paying for the research, and how are they going to benefit based on this result or this result? And it's way shocking.
I am with you on this. I'm going to take it even, I think, another level. And that is when you see something in the news and it doesn't sit right for whatever reason, or it catches your attention. And then it's gone. It doesn't, that news item doesn't exist anymore. That is an almost immediate red flag to me. And I just note it. I don't live by it, but I take a note going, huh, that's kind of interesting. And then you start seeing censorship over whatever the item is. You want my attention, you censored something. I'm not saying I believe it or not, but if it was enough for them to start hiding it, then I want to know why. And that's when I go down the rabbit hole. Now, yep. I have been in my life quoted in the news many times. We used to own some businesses and some things happened in my life that we will not talk about. But I was asked a question and I answered it to the media. And it was exactly what I said in the news article, but it was out of context. Way. So I did say it. I'm not going to say I didn't say it, but it was not even close to what I had said. It made more sense if you knew everything I said before and after.
Yeah.
And I'd even ask this person, please, you know, think of our family, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But the point is there could be enough truth to make what they said true, but it's out of context.
Okay. Yep.
And then one time, and I'm going to keep this one pretty high level, but something happened in the news that I was part of in one of my jobs, and it was a pretty serious incident. And I'm just going to keep it as general as I can. But basically when it comes down to it, I had a first person experience. It was in the news and it was something that was kind of, let's say not for public consumption. A week later, and it was in the news. Okay. Certain facts. A week later, I was telling someone about it and I went to go look at the article and it was gone, like scrubbed. And I've never seen this happen before. I've never been a first person to something to go, wait, I know this happened. Now it no longer exists. You could find threads of it, like where people were still talking about it, but even those, I haven't tried to look, but it was completely erased. And that was when, and that was about 4 years ago. So I have now realized that even I didn't think that was possible, because you always say, you know, if you do something, it's going to be a record forever. I've right. never experienced that until this event. And the reason I'm being general about it is because there's reasons. And so I just think we need to understand that it is all a game. There is money behind it. And some of it's for national security. Like, I actually don't expect the president to be 100% truthful. Because quite honestly, there are some things we don't need to know. They've got to, I'm okay with that. Okay. I am not okay with the media and their influence that they have so unbelievably had over the past, since there's been news.
Yep.
And people buy into whatever they want to believe. That is the fact. If you want to believe one thing, you will find all those facts to support that, myself included. Yep. And if you believe this thing, you'll find all the things to debunk it if you want to. So we can find what we're looking for, or we can be a little bit, we step back and do what you just said, and you start asking questions if it doesn't make sense. But I have learned that I am not able to convince people what I believe in. I've tried, you know, and so I'm very passive. I basically tell people, look, I make up my own opinions based on first person if I can. If I have to listen to the media, then I don't just take one perspective. I actually, if I really want to support something, I will listen to the opposite of it. So if something doesn't make sense to me, I don't want to listen to the person who's selling it. I want to listen, and this is just me. This is how I handle things.
The same as me.
Yeah. It works for me because sometimes you get a little bit more raw in their attempt to debunk something. They actually support it, or vice versa. You know, they might go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And then you go down that rabbit hole. But for the most part in my life right now, I don't do hardly any of that. You know, if I don't research my hikes that much, I sure don't research those other things. But I do glean a little few things, and every now and then something will catch my attention and I'm like, you know, but I'd rather talk to a person first person, you know? So like, even if I didn't get to experience something, you know, I'd rather, instead of watching the news about it, if someone was at an event that happened, I will go to them and go, hey, and this is kind of how we started this whole talk today. When I talked about Havasupai, if you have a problem with something, I'd rather you be that person to go and see it for yourself than to be that person who's very loud on the internet with all good intentions, but they're spreading their truth that has no evidence in their world. Yes, they're taking the word from other people, but they're so loud about something they've never even experienced. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So I'd like to get into some hiker safety with you. And then we will start to wrap it up. So because you do a lot of solo and some way epic trails, what are some of the safety precautions that you take before heading out on a trail? And like, so you have children, right?
I do.
Do they worry about you?
I am so proud of my kids. Do you remember I mentioned, I was a missing person and it was a rafting trip?
Yep.
Okay. So before I did the Appalachian Trail, I told my son how he could access all of my information. So he could get into my accounts as if he were me to do whatever he needed to do. That was in 2020. The rafting trip was in 2022. And so 2 years later, hadn't talked to him about anything. No big deal. I'm going on a 80-mile rafting trip. Amazing. With a whole bunch of people. Well, there was some confusion. I was going to park my van somewhere and then I was going to go on the river trip, but I got a ride at the last minute, so I didn't take my van. And then someone on our group had COVID, so they didn't go. So there was this missing van and there was a missing person. So somebody in the authority world, the ranger, connected the two wrong dots and they thought I was a missing person.
Why?
Okay. I don't know I'm missing because I'm off the grid.
Right.
So I go down the river and after a few days, this group that was worried, or this entity that was worried about me, called the authorities because my car never showed up. They were going to move my car to the bottom of the river and all this other stuff. So they got all worried. They called my emergency contact, which was my son. And he was like 23-ish years old. And he's such a good kid. Oh my gosh. And he told them, the authorities, he's like, she's fine. I'm positive she's fine. They're like, well, we don't know, blah, 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 you know? And he's like, well, let me do some research and let me see what I can find. So he goes, he sees where I last bought gas. He sees when I last used my phone. He saw nothing was done on my bank accounts. No credit cards were used. I mean, he went through my emails. I mean, like, he's like, look, he's like, she's not supposed to be done for this trip for another 3 or 4 days. He's like, wait till she pops out off the river and everything's fine. So he's chill. Like, he is not worried at all. But it was interesting that, you know, they had to call him. So the day before I get out of the river, this motorboat, it couldn't have gone any further, but it came up the stream. And, you know, they have rangers. They make sure you poop in the groover. I don't know what you
call it. Yeah.
Anyway, the ammo can. And, you know, that you carry all your poop out and, you know, that you leave no trace and all this other stuff. So I figured this ranger's coming up to check on all of us and check our permits and make sure we're doing everything right. So he shows up and I'm kind of setting up my tent and they're like, Kim, they need you. I'm like, okay. So I leave my tent and I go running there. They were only looking for me. They looked at me and they're like, ma'am, you're listed as a missing person. I'm like, what? And they're like, I said, I'm not missing. He's like, can we take a photo? We got to prove that you're okay. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So now I'm thinking, I've got 1 day of what has my son gone through? Like, what have I done to him? Now, I should have started with this, but I'll finish the story with this. I had told Derek and Ruby that if I ever go missing, I'm supposed to be somewhere and I don't show up where you think I'm supposed to be, give me a year and then you can start looking for me because I don't want to be found. Joking. But so when I get off the trail, I'm like, dude, I told you to give me a year. And he's like, mom, they were insistent. He was like, I tried to tell him you were okay. So how do my kids handle it? They're amazing. You know, they're so good about staying in touch with me. You know, they're off doing their lives. And I'm just so blessed that my son knows I'm alive when I send my Wordle. I share my Wordle every morning. So that's how he knows I'm alive. But when I'm off the grid, then I'm off the grid. But when I'm on the grid, he has a life check with Wordle every day.
And so do you, like with one of your children, do you leave them your itinerary when you're heading out? Like,
oh no, because I don't even know it.
No,
I don't know my itinerary.
About to say, because you're pretty spontaneous.
It's very spontaneous. So they know kind of, like, they knew I went to Europe, but like, okay, this is a perfect example. I'm going to go do Tour du Mont Blanc. I always get the cash currency that I need before I get there. So I have Swiss francs because I'm going to Switzerland, Geneva. Mm-hmm. But then I get on a train and I end up in France. So then I go try to buy something and they're like, we don't take the Swiss franc here. I'm like, you don't? They're like, you're in France. Oh, you're right. So, yeah. You know, and then I'm walking and I'm hiking and all of a sudden I'm in Italy. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, like I couldn't have told you the order of the countries because I don't care. I'm going on to Mont Blanc. I'm following the signs. I'm following the app. When I get there, I get there. You know, I find out when I'm on the thing that Italy doesn't like hikers to set up a tent below 7,000 feet. Okay. So, you know, I didn't know that before I started. So before I got to Italy, I'm like, I guess I better stay in a hotel. I hope I can find one. Oh, there's a hotel. Great. I couldn't have told them. I literally booked that hotel the same day. Like, so I can't, you know, people that are so organized and planned, yes, they can tell people everything they're doing. Mine is go with the flow. And I've told my kids and friends who worry about me, they try not to worry about me anymore. In the beginning, I didn't let people know what I was doing because I didn't want all those bad vibes out there, people worried about whatever. But now I don't care. So basically I'll tell people ahead of time now what I'm doing. Generally, like, hey, like some, well, actually I don't think anyone, no, people know I'm going to probably do Mount Kilimanjaro,
mm-hmm.
but I might not. I mean, I have it booked. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to try, but I may not succeed, whatever. But I don't even know I haven't even looked at the itinerary. I know when I have to get there and I know when I'm done.
Yeah.
Everything else will happen. I hope. So safety, is that good or bad? Right? Would I suggest somebody else who's doing this, would I suggest they do the way I do it? No, it works for me. I'm at a point in my life, I don't want anything bad to happen to me, but literally if something happened to me and I'm done with my adventures, man, it was a good ride. I'm happy. Yeah. But if someone's just now starting, yeah, plan it. You know, my Appalachian Trail, I didn't know where I was going to be and how long it was going to take me, but I had a friend and I made all these boxes of food that I wanted to eat. It was really good food. And I told them to mail it to me as I was hiking. You know, I would say 4 or 5 days out, hey, mail it here. Hey, mail it here. And I would come and get the food. I've never done that since. It was more hassle. Yeah, I was prepared. Yeah, I had food I wanted. Holy cow. It was so much work. And remember, it was COVID. So like the places that I had one thing sent, I got there the day before they closed. So my resupply would have been gone, a year, because that store closed down. So my point is, no matter how well you plan everything, things are going to happen. So for me, my safety actually comes in being able to go with the flow, to be fluid. But for somebody else, the safety might be, they know they're only going to go 8 miles. They don't care that they're going to be done at 2 in the morning or in the afternoon. They would rather be done at 2 than to get the extra 4 you know, hours of hiking in. That's their safety. So my safety, here's what I do for my hike, for my safety. And you're going to laugh when I tell you some of these things, but safety to me means also being healthy, right? So how do I ensure my safety? I drink so much water the night before I go on a hike. I don't care how long the hike is. I make sure I'm hydrated. I get a good night's sleep. I cut my toenails because if I've had any injury, it would be losing toenails. And that's not fun. Do you live? Do you survive? Absolutely. But I do better when I'm not hurting my feet. Okay. This is my ways of safety for a solo female hiker. And I think it applies to many people, anyone. But when I hike solo, I don't sleep in the shelters, but I always go to a shelter. You know, these buildings that people have built in the woods, you know, for people who don't know that. But they usually have a logbook. I sign the logbook always. And I even try to put the time there if I'm worried. If I put the time there, you know something's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm pushing my limits or maybe there's someone scary, whatever. I sign the logbook at the trailheads if they have them, always. Now, some people go, well, that seems scary because if you put your information, then people know where you are. Yeah, that's possible. I would rather have a track record. I'd rather have, you know, have I ever like ducked into the woods because I didn't like, I felt vulnerable? Yep. I've made myself invisible. Have I ever hit someone dead on and made it clear that I see them? Yep. I can't predict that. I have to make a judgment call at that moment.
Yeah.
I've not always read it right. One guy I'll never forget. This is the one time where I told everyone who I was because I was really worried. I I messed up on so many levels. I saw some guy coming. It was on the Appalachian Trail. This was in van life. I was back on the Appalachian Trail and I was so excited to be back on the trail. I just parked my van. I'm hiking. I haven't seen any hikers yet. And I see someone coming and I'm all excited. He's coming towards me and far away, he looks normal. As he gets closer to me, I had already engaged with him, but I didn't realize he did not want to be seen. He had these big jugs of water that were empty hanging off his bag. He had been in the woods for a long time and he was not a through hiker. He was someone, and there's many, who lives in the woods. He's either running from the law or society, or he has some problems, but I didn't read the room. I did not read it right. I saw him. And so when I said, hi, how you doing? He just stared at me like death. We're getting closer, right? He's coming towards me. I don't let it go because I'm so excited to be on the trail and I'm not reading it. And I'm like, hey, you know, where are you going? Where are you headed? And I'm just trying to be all bubbly and happy because I'm overcompensating for the fact that he's looking at me like death. And he did not want to engage at all. We passed and my hackles were up. I'm thinking, you blew it, Kim. What is your problem? Like, wake up. Then I don't see. And I'm like, now starting to be concerned and I'm walking and I'm like, oh, I hope I see another hiker. And this guy was not a threat, but yeah. I saw him and he did not want to be seen and he had many ways to handle this. Thankfully, he just chose to keep walking, but I'm still concerned because I've not seen any hikers. Finally, I see a hiker. I tell him what happened, what's going on, my name. And I keep walking because I got to come back the way I came. And I don't know if this person is going to be on my path again. And I just didn't want to accidentally bump into them. That's my fault. I blew it. You know, I always reflect on it. And I always try to remember it. Safety. I always check the weather before I go. I try to check the weather on my hike, but you can't always do that. I do a lot of screenshots. I try to use a GPS that pings, but I don't carry an InReach. I never have. People get really upset with me for not. I did buy a really fancy watch for my last hike and I proceeded to lose it in the first 2 days, 3 days. So there's if you want a good Garmin watch, there's a really expensive one on the Allegheny Trail by a fallen tree near the midway point. So, you know, it's under the leaves, so it's not gonna be found for 10 years, but, you know, I've tried different ways to be safe. Some work, some don't. I found don't rush. For me, being safe actually is not hiking with other people. Any injury I've ever had is because I was trying to hike the same pace as someone else. If they were faster than me, like my head injury, great group of people. We had a great hike. I wasn't tired and I was hopping rocks and my foot missed and I fell 6 feet and hit my head. Now, because I was not by myself, you would say I was safe, because people were there to put me back together like Humpty Dumpty, and then they walked out with me, right? But here's what I would pose as an, let's think about it. Would I have gotten hurt if I was by myself? I can tell you right now, I do still have accidents, but nothing like that. Yeah. I hike slower. I'm more aware of my surroundings. I'm not trying to keep up. I'm not bored. I'm my pace, my hike, my, you know, things can still happen, but you know, that solo thing is kind of I don't know if this is right, double-edged sword, you know, yes, I'm alone. And if something happens, I have to self-rescue. When you go in the woods by yourself, you have got to know that you are capable of either communicating with someone, getting yourself out of the situation, staying calm, and just, you don't have to solve all the world's problems. You just got to get to safety. If you get yourself lost, hurt, whatever, afraid.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and you don't know that you made the right choice until after the thing has happened. Like I set up my tent by a trailhead just recently on the Arizona Trail. I set up by a trailhead. So there's a parking lot. It was quiet. It was getting dark. Some truck pulls up. They don't see me because I turned my light off in my tent and I don't want to be seen. But then they start shooting into the woods and they don't know I'm there.
Yeah,
what do I do though? What's my choice? Okay, you stay invisible and they might accidentally hit you. You know, they shouldn't be shooting in the dark, but they are. Or you turn your light on. Well, now you're like a little sitting duck. What if they're not nice people? You know, they're already shooting in the dark. How do you know, right? I chose to turn my light on. They immediately stopped shooting. Immediately. Now that could be a good sign. They get their flashlight and they come over to me because, like, when I say they're shooting in my direction, like the branches of the tree were falling on my tent. Like they were shooting in my direction. They did not know. They come over and they're like, I have it on video because I turned my camera on, and they said, hello. And I think they think they've killed someone. Like, I think they think that they've made a grave mistake, but at least they came over to me. And I said, I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to sound mean and, you know, and I don't open my tent. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, are you okay? And their voice is like shaking. I said, yeah, it's a good thing you're a bad shot. I'm trying to keep it light. And they're like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm okay. I still don't open my tent. I don't want to see them. I let them be their person. I don't need to see them. They go back to their truck and they drive away. There are so many things that could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
But I did what I thought was right at the time. And quite honestly, recording on my phone was one of the safety things, was because if something did go down, there is a chance it would automatically upload. But bare minimum, it's on my phone. And so as long as someone, it's just another, sometimes you do things to be safe in the moment. Sometimes you want safety afterwards. Like maybe something plays out where that evidence could help.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
But I can't tell you how I would do it the next time. What I do with this. Well, the only thing I would do is I don't like sleeping at trailheads. I try not to sleep at trailheads for so many reasons. The easier it is to access, the more I don't want to be there. There's beautiful campgrounds. Even if I'm in the woods, 100 feet, I don't want people to know I'm there.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. That's my safety thing, right? And then I check in. I check in with people. I have pretended to be on the phone when I wasn't on the phone to make it look like I'm connected to someone. What else? I think that's it. You know, doing a little bit of research, but not so much that it gets in my head.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to new beginner hiker and backpackers that kind of want to get into our hobby? And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.